Blog Talk Radio.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida.
I'm Speaker of the Owl, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. And yes, as I said always, this is a day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice, and we will be glad in it. We just thank the Lord today for another day that God has enabled us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So today we are excited, as always, about the truth. We're excited about the Word of God. For the Word of God says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. He said, whom the Son has made free is free indeed. So therefore, we are tired of people being in bondage. We don't want people sick, depressed, broke down, sad, angry. We want them to know that we serve a miracle-working God. So therefore, it's important that we here on the Hour of Power broadcast, that we give you the Word of God, that we preach and teach the unadulterated, uncompromising Word of God. So therefore, we're getting ready at this time to go before the throne of grace. Yes, you still have time. Call a neighbor, call a friend, call a lot of friends. Tell them that the Hour of Power broadcast is on the air. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you, dear God, for the great, for the mighty things that you have done. We thank you, dear Lord God, for the great and the mighty things that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, dear God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Thy word, how we hear in our hearts, that we will not sin against thee. Have your way today. Move in behalf of your people. Give them a stirring on the inside as well as on the outside. And for this we will bless and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Yes, you're listening to the Hour of Power broadcast. I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. Come on, let's go into the Word of God. Today we're going to be coming from the fifth chapter of Acts. The fifth chapter of Acts that's coming, that is in the New Testament. And here we're going to begin, why don't we begin at that first verse? And it says, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold possession, kept back part of the price, his wife also being privily to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. When it says privily, she knew about it. But Peter and said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart, lied to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Why, it remained. Was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your power? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard them. And the young men arose, bound up him, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours. After that, his wife, knowing what was done, came in, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And he said, yea. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which buried your husband are at the door and shall carry you out. And then fell she down immediately at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, found her dead, carried her forth, buried her by her husband. Now we're going to get ready to go into the Word of God for today. This is a part of the first to the tenth verse of the fifth chapter of Acts was a part of the teaching, but it was not what I want to bring to you today. But I just led to go ahead and read that part of it because it tells about what we're, it's going, yes, it is, because it's going to tell how the apostles moved under the power of God and why people was at that time when by the example of Ananias and Sapphira, they was not afraid to come and lie before the man of God. They did not fear him. They did not fear God in a way that they were going to do what they did. But when these things happened, when they both fell dead at one came, husband came first, and then the wife, and they both fell dead because they lied, not just to Peter, not just to the apostle, but they lied to God. So here in the 11th verse, the word of God says, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. When we hear the word of God, when we see things that are happening in this day and time, when we read the word of God and we see the power of God, when we see things are happening and we don't fear and we don't take heed and we don't be obedient to God and the things that happen then, those things can certainly happen now. The word of God let us know that heaven and earth may pass away, but not one jot or one tip of his word going to fail. So he's the same yesterday, today, and he will be forever. When we began to look at this situation, people took heed then. If they wasn't taking heed before, they took heed before because they see the power of God. They see the demonstration of God. They see what God allowed to happen to Ananias and Sapphira. So in that 11th verse, it tells us that great fear came upon all the church. And that's what he was talking to, the church, the believer, the one that say, I love God, the one that say that I'm living his life so I can live again, but not fulfilling the word of God, not actually obeying God, not being obedient to the things of God. So when we began to look at this, it brought attention to the whole church because they needed to know that God is not playing. Somebody needs to know today that God is not playing, that God's word will forever stand, and that we're not to be stiff-necked and hard-hearted. We're not to be liars. We're not to be disobedient. We're not supposed to be rebellious in our walk with God. Because the Bible says, let us know that we're not supposed to do these things, and that warning comes before destruction. So when we began to read these of the word of God, here in that 12th verse, and by the hands of apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's court. And of the rest, there no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. We see here where the word of God is made plain. See, that's what it is today, that the word of God has to be made plain. Somebody said, well, I don't want to read all of those things or hear those things that happen, because I know it, you know, God is a merciful God and he's a good God and he won't destroy me and he won't kill me and he gonna do this and I'm gonna be all right. But don't you know what the word of God telling us? Don't you see how the Israelites, those people were rebellious and they were stiff-necked? And do you know that, remember when we began to read that's why it's so important to read the Word of God. How when they began to murmur and complain, and they began to was unthankful for the things that God did to them. Don't you know that God let a lot of them die? It was a whole, it was a many of them that came out of Egypt. I'm talking about the Israelites, God's people. And I'm talking about God's people right now. It was a lot of them that came out. But when they began to be rebellious and stiff-necked and stubborn, when they began to resist the power of God, when they began to talk about the man of God, when they began to do things, oh, God dealt with them. God dealt with, and I'm talking about the people of God, the ones that say that I'm Christian. I'm talking about the ones that go to church every Sunday. I'm talking about those that they're on Friday night and on Monday or whatever day it may be. When you become rebellious to the word of God, God will deal with you. So when we begin, because he dealt with, in the New Testament, see, the Israelites, that you would say, well, that was in the Old Testament when he dealt with the Israelites and other people too that he dealt with. Remember that time when he opened up the ground and he let those people just get, I mean, the earth opened up and all those people that were coming against the man of God, I mean, they were just swallowed up. I mean, God, he is a merciful God now. Come on. He is merciful. Remember how he did Sodom and Gomorrah when those, when the homosexuals and the gays and the people that was living against, was coming against God by their lifestyle and people, and that was a rich area. That was people that was prospering. And yet they didn't hear. They choose to disobey God. So what did he do? He let the fire burn up the whole place. Don't play with God. Don't play with God. And especially in a day and a time, we should never play with God. But in a day and a time that we live in, we don't have time to play with God. We don't have time to play like we don't have it together. So we see here that after they had seen Sapphira and Ananias fall dead before the pots of God, it tells us that but more believers were added to the church. Multitudes of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick to the street. That, see, these are the believers. These are what happened when the man of God and the woman of God moved in the power of God and have the power of God upon them. The Word of God tells us in Mark 16th chapter, 15th verse, it tells us the sign of a believer, how they're going to cast out demons and devils, how they're going to lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover, how they're going to eat drink deadly things and it was not going to hurt them. And this is not, and how they're going to take up serpents and the serpent is not going to hurt them. But what I'm saying to you, as I said this before, that don't tempt God. Don't tempt God, because you can come, you can, if you tempt God, say, I'm going to drink this deadly poison, I'm going to do this, you're going to die. Most likely, you're going to die because you're tempting God. You taking up a snake just to do it, well, if God didn't tell you to do it, well, I'm telling you, you're risking your life of whether you're tempting God. But I'm telling you today, that when you can walk in the power of God and believe God and Word of God says that he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think, and there is nothing too hard for him to do. When they seen the power of God upon the believers, upon the apostles, they began to bring out in the streets those that were sick. They brought them out on their beds. They brought them out on their couches. And even the shadow, come on, the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. I mean, they had faith that even if Peter passed by, that even his shadow, that power that was upon him, that they would be healed. And in that 16th verse, there came also a multitude out of the cities around about to Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, everyone. And that is what I'm talking about as well. We began to read the Word of God and study the Word of God. In Mark 16, 17 verse, we'll see the signs of a believer. But we're going to have to believe God's word. And it tells us that they brought out those that are unclean spirits and those, and they were healed. Everyone was healed. Then the high priest rose up. You know the devil is going to come. The Bible said the enemy come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The high priest rose up, all they that were with him, which is the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. They were filled. They didn't like what was going on. They didn't like seeing the power of God. They didn't like what God had put, the power of God that they had put upon these men, these apostles. They didn't like these people looking at these men and knowing the power of God was in them. They didn't like that. They didn't like people being brought to the streets and being healed. You know, sometimes when you look at when people ought to be rejoicing when a person is healed and delivered and rejoicing over it and magnifying, thanking God, yet these people, no, they wasn't rejoicing. You know, some of the people even got mad, even in other scriptures, and angry because of the fact that when Jesus healed on the Sabbath day, come on, how backwards can you go? I mean, how hard-hearted can you be? That to show you that how people, how their minds are not in Christ. And it tells us that, and they laid hands on the apostles. These are the people that had indignation in their heart. The word says, and they laid their hands on the apostles. The Bible says, touch not my anointed, do my prophet no harm. You shouldn't be bothering with the men and women of God. And especially when they have a light in Christ, when they've given their life to Christ and they're living, they're holy, don't put your hand on them. And they laid hand upon them and put them in the common prison. And the 19th verse says, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Look at my God. Look at our Father. How the angel, the men that was against them came against them, moving in the nation against them, and put them in prison, in a common prison, but God has sent his angel by night and had them to open the prison doors where they had them bound, where they had them locked in, and they couldn't get out in the natural. But God sent his angel and brought them out, brought them forth, and he gave them instruction. He told them to go and stand and to speak in the temple to the people all the words of his life. You know, God called them to preach the gospel. God called them to move in sign and in wonder. The world will try to stop you from being used of Jesus. The world will try to discourage you. Even those that say that they are God, they will try to discourage you from doing the will of God. But God sent his angel. Although they put the apostles in jail, God sent the angel and opened up the prison door. And somebody say, well, you know what? They may open the prison doors then. But, you know, all of these mechanical type things that they have in the prison are now in our system that they're not going to be, they won't be able to do that. The devil is a liar. I mean, God is able to swing open every door. And God is able to get his man or woman and deliver him. And it didn't tell us that the rest of the prison came out. But God got the one that he wanted to come out. Come on. He brought out the man of God. Didn't you see it says, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the word of this life. God brought out who he wanted to bring out. He brought them out, those that were speaking the word of God, those that believed the word of God. He told them to go out. He brought them out and told them to go speak until all speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and they taught. You can't close my mouth. You can't close the woman and the man of God, the boy and the girl that knows God. If God be for us, it is more than they that will be against us. And they went in that morning. And they began to teach. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the sinners of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officer came and found them not in prison, they put them there and in there in prison, and they was expecting to see them when they arrived. But they weren't there. They wasn't there because God had sent an angel to let them out, to open the doors of the prison to let them out. Don't tell me that God cannot do what God cannot do, because all things are possible to him that believe. But when the officer came and found them not in prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found. We shut all safety, and the keeper standing outside before the door. But when we had opened, we found no man within. They try to explain what happened. They don't know why they wasn't there. They didn't know why the man got out. They don't know how they got out because they locked them. They locked them with all safety, they said. They had somebody standing on the outside. But when God want to get in, he coming in. He is coming in. He sent his angel to come in. And just like it is in a heart. If God want to come into a hard-hearted man heart, God can come in. Don't tell me that he can't. He came in a soft heart. He changed him when he was putting the Christians in jail. He had a letter for that he could come and bound and put them in prison. And don't tell me that he can't open up the prison and let his people out. When they came, they couldn't find them. They was expecting to see them. See, they expect to see you in your imaginary prison bars that they have tried to put you in. Come on, listen at this. I really feel the Spirit of the Lord is speaking here. You know, people will try to put you in imaginary prison bars. You may not be in a prison, but people try to put you in a prison and try to lock you in and throw away the key. But we serve a God that is able to deliver. We serve a God that will not allow man to do what he thinks that he can do, to cause these imaginary prison bars to be on push. In other words, to put you in bondage, to shut you up. I don't want to see you. I don't want to hear you preach the word. I don't want you healing the sick. I don't want you raising the dead. I don't want you speaking in faith. I don't want you stirring these people up and causing them thinking that they can believe God and they can do things just like you're doing it too. But the devil is a liar. He can. He will. He's done it. And he'll do it again. When we look at the word of God, when they didn't find them there, in that 23rd verse, they're saying, the prison truly found, we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing outside before the door. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now, when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. It was uncertain. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. When the angel gave them instructions, they went to the temple and they began to preach the word of God. We don't let nobody stop us from preaching the word of God. We don't let nobody stop us from being a witness to the kingdom of God. We shouldn't let anybody stop us from doing what God has called us to do. The Bible says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. If the laborers are few, and they are, we don't need anybody getting off the job or stop or won't start doing what God has called them to do. So when we read the word of God here, they were telling them that the men, they was out, they was standing in the temple and they was preaching to the people. Come on. They weren't preaching to no stones and no bricks. They was preaching to the people. And when the captain with the officer had brought them without violence, but they feared the people, least they would have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council and asked the high priest and asked them, saying, did not we strictly command you that you should not teach in this name? Listen to me what I said. You know what? I need to read this again. Because some people don't know the power that's in the name of Jesus. They don't know that there's authority in the name of Jesus. And even then, in the scripture, how they wanted to stop the disciples, stop the apostles, stop the men and women of God from teaching in the name of Jesus. Don't you know that we're in that day and a time that they're trying to stop Christians, believers, from praying? They already have taken it out of the school, and they don't want you to pray in Jesus' name. They don't want certain things to be in the courthouse. They don't want things to be in public places because of the fact that they try to demean the name of Jesus when they know that there's power in thy name. That's why I'm going to say, Jesus, Jesus, Father, in the name of Jesus, I command this stone, I command this man to be healed, I command this woman to be healed, I command by the power of God that when I lay hand upon the sick, that they shall be healed in the name of Jesus. Don't let anyone stop you from using the name of Jesus. And we close our prayer, we're going to close it in the name of Jesus. I don't care who or what person say that don't pray in the name of Jesus. You need, even if you pray in Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, you ought to end it in the name of Jesus. they're saying, did we not command you in that 28th verse of the 5th chapter of Acts? Did not we strictly command you that you should not teach in his name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, with your teaching, and intended to bring this man's blood upon us. And then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. And it is a fact, and it's true, ladies and gentlemen. Come on, boys and girls, that we have to obey God no matter what man says. We got to obey God. The apostles were put in prison because they stood on the name of Jesus, and they refused to be shut down. They refused to stop. Even if you put me, even if they were put in prison, you know, I have to go to prison. Remember the other day when we talked about Daniel, how he prayed 3 times a day? And how they came against him, and I believe that was in the 6th chapter of Daniel, how they tried to shut him up, shut him down, and how they were jealous of him, and they seen how he prayed and how they put him in, I mean literally, into the den of lions. Literally put him in. They put him in there. But God sent his angel, he shut the lion's mouth. They couldn't even they couldn't even if they wanted, they couldn't get take one bite of Daniel. Couldn't do it. When the king came and that next morning when they came and they seen Daniel was still alive and seen that his God had delivered him, you know what happened? The enemies of Daniel, the enemies of God, the Lord used that key to throw them into the lion's den. Remember? And they didn't just throw them in. They, look what they did. They threw their families in. It's their wives and their children because of the fight that they came against the man of God. In that 29th verse, we're almost coming to an ending. Then Peter and the other apostle answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Rather than men, we rather obey God. And the God, he said, the God of our father raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him has God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, but to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are his witnesses. Can't you just imagine them speaking that? Can't you just imagine them, the boldness of them? He said, and we are his witness of these things. And so it is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth in little space. Then said to them, you men of Israel, take heed to yourself what you intend to do as touching these men. This is what Gamaliel was saying to those that was came against the men of God. He said, this is what he said in that 36th verse. And you can go back and read the rest of it, you know, today. It says, for before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. They came to nothing. After this man rose up, Judas of Galilee in the land of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. They were scattered. And now I say to you, refrain from these men and let them alone. But if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. He gave them an example of what happened to others that were proclaiming and how it came to naught because of the work that they were doing was not of God. But these men, he's telling them, refrain, let them alone. He was saying, if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to nothing. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily you be found even to fight against God. And that's what we want to also make this point, that when you come against the man and the woman of God, when you coming against that boy, that girl that is of God, you are coming against God. You think that you're coming against them. Come on. But let me tell you, leave them alone. Like the media said to these people that was coming against the men of God, leave them alone. Because if the man and woman, the boy and girl, if they're not speaking the truth, if they're not living the truth, it's gonna come of naught. But he let them know, if it be of God, you are fighting against God. You are fighting against God. And it says in that 40th verse, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they beat the apostles. And they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. I already heard what the media said. They were still adamant that, in other words, we're not going to kill them, but we're going to beat them. And after we done beat them, then we're going to let them go. And here the word of God said, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. I'm talking about Peter, the men of God. Even after they had been beaten, you know, they rejoice on the inside. Sometimes we get so upset, we get so angry with people that come against us. I mean, the word of God said they began to rejoice that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the word of God in your people today. I pray today that faith came alive. I pray, God, even now, as you use Peter and the apostles, how they boldly proclaim, how they boldly stood upon your name, how they boldly preach in your name, how they boldly heal in your name, how they boldly stood for you. I pray, God, that believers everywhere, that they will stand up, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and that they, God, will be led by your Spirit, and God, that they will see great and mighty things happening in their lives. God, I pray even now that you make a difference, Lord God. God, that you will touch them. God, that you will call their light to shine before others, that others will and to glorify you. Lord, have your way today. Father, keep, Father God, those that are sick, healed by the mighty hand of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you. We just praise your name for all that you have done, all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. Lord, your word says, Lord, and we confess with our mouth, the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God is raising from the dead. You said that we shall be saved. So, Lord, even now, I pray, God, that those that are not saved, those that do not know you as Lord and Savior, God, that they'll be saved. God, that they repent of their sins. God, that they will give their lives unto you. And, Father, for this, we will glorify and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This has been Dr. Mary Smith McCoy from the Hour of Power broadcast. Would you please join us on Wednesday of next week? And as we again teach and preach the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God. May God bless and keep you is our prayer.